My hotel, the 400-year-old Esmeralda, reminds me of Oscar Wilde's last words, "Either this wallpaper goes or I do." The red and white paper that covers the walls of my room would surely have killed Oscar. I somehow survive.
The big hotel burns down. Game over. You have only 450 points. You are not a top 10 scorer. Your room has been cleared and is now available. Do you wish to register at the Pink Hotel?
You're a loser, Sonny.
Do you wish to register?
First rule in the Pink Hotel game is never talk to a dang lunchworm.
I begin Thursday by going back 1,000 years in time to the Cluny Museum of the Middle Ages, thankfully close to my hotel in both location and age. On his PBS travel show, Rick Steves has raved about the group of tapestries called The Lady and the Unicorn, which certainly warrant the rave. The tenderness in the unicorn's eyes as he looks at his lady is very moving, and hard to believe it's sewn rather than painted. Next up, the city of science and industry.
Shoes for industry, shoes for the dead, shoes for industry.
A science museum which seems aimed at children. Actually, that's true of all the various museums I visit. All have groups of children going through them along with me. At its little restaurant, I have the French equivalent of the Japanese yakitori for lunch, which is barbecue chicken on a stick with an excellent barbecue sauce, along with a carafe of rosé. Not the kind of beverage that comes with your meal in Japan.
I have been to Sapporo. I have been to Japan. I have eaten Japanese cooking.
Ants!
I have had the experience of eating Japanese cooking.
What?
How do you say thank you in Japanese?
Ajinomoto.
Volleyball.
Ajinomoto, it means everything.
They put it
everything.
Wonderful, the slides have been great.
Not good.
Recordings that you
not
brought
bad.
Back, guys, have been fascinating. It was a wonderful tour you had
not
in
bad.
Japan, apparently, and you must have really enjoyed
not
yourselves
here.
There.
I used to eat.
Not too much.
I used to finish.
Not too fast.
I used to come.
Not yet.
I used to do.
Not at all.
I used to be surprised.
I haven't any time.
Running
I
used to carry it by hand.
Out. I don't know how to do it.
I used to move every year.
I don't
year.
Know when.
I used to gain as much as 20 pounds
landing in,
every year.
Los Angeles,
I don't know
4 or 5 crazy guys.
He didn't say
four,
anything.
4 or 5 crazy guys, dumb Los Angeles.
Have,
3,
I have come.
2,
I haven't
1.
I have done it.
Bail out.
He never comes.
Remember the woman at the teriyaki burger stand yesterday? Big Jim Fist teriyaki burger stand?
Oh,
the one with the revealing.
Yes.
Oh, she had on revealing pants that were made out of polyesters.
Right.
And they
linked
had kind of little they were linked, by
polymers.
Little enzymes, but a great deal of her flesh was actually right there to our eager eyes.
And she was roasting flesh anyway.
And certainly her pulsating thighs beneath the polyester pants.
Yeah.
As she fixed for us 6 teriyaki burgers with a side
and
of French fries.
She did the baked meat fandango, as we were wanting to say.
My heart still longs.
Do you know what else
Terry
we saw yesterday?
And her husband Yaki, who's over in Vietnam.
What?
The main reason I'd chosen that museum to see out of the vast number in Paris was to see a building called the Geode, a theater which resembles a soap bubble, or Buckminster Fuller's U.S. Pavilion at the 67 Montreal World's Fair. It is a great bubble indeed. I never went inside. Maybe I learned my lessons from Mont Saint-Michel and Gehry's Louis Vuitton Foundation. And next up, the Guimet Museum, full of Oriental oddities.
In the lovely Victorian greenhouse of the late Dr. Anslinger, Charlie Chance has gathered together all of the possible suspects of this week's heinous crime. As his long, delicate fingers unhook the top frog of his richly embroidered Mandarin kimono due to the excessive humidity.
And then a superb anthropology museum called the Branly. It seems very new and wonderfully up to date in terms of what it is possible to present in museums. I notice the windows are all painted green, so you think you're in a jungle all the time you're in the museum.
While Korak was stealthily pushing his way through the dense Uzizi forest, remember that? Yeah, remember he said the apes of the Forbidden Valley are certainly alert, he thought to himself, as other hairy hands pinned his arms to his sides, jerked the spear from his left hand, and dragged him through the underbrush. There was no point struggling, he realized, for he sensed that they meant him no harm. The grip of their thick fingers were firm, not violent.
Come this way.
Lots of stuff from the Pacific Northwest First Nations, which is the area I live, and Phil Austin as well. Phil and I became friends because of our mutual interest in the indigenous arts of our neighborhoods.
Penacook, Massachusetts. Mohegan, Delaware. Mohawk.
Powhatan,
Alabama.
Cree.
Choctaw.
Tuscarora.
Susquehanna.
Iroquois.
Penacook,
Mohawk.
Powhatan,
Delaware.
Susquehanna. Iroquois.
Chickasaw. Chickasaw.
Sauk, Sanzark, Shawnee. Arapaho. Arapaho.
Crow, Oto, Iowa.
Menominee. Menominee.
Mandan, Mobile, Modoc.
Hopi, Apache, Nisqually, Shoshone.
Apache, Nisqually,
Shoshone.
Shoshone.
Apache, Apache,
Nisqually,
Shoshone.
Apache, Apache,
Nisqually,
Shoshone.
Apache, Apache,
Nisqually,
Shoshone.
Shoshone.
Apache,
Shoshone.
Apache,
Shoshone.
Paiute.
Apache,
Shoshone. Paiute. In a sacred manner you shall walk. Your nation shall behold you.
Chickasaw.
Sauk, Sanzak, Shawnee. Behold, a sacred voice is calling you. All over the sky, a sacred voice is calling.
Chickasaw.
Sauk, Sanzak, Shawnee. In a sacred manner you shall walk. Your nation shall behold you.
A great museum event deserves a great meal. I've been encountering the name David Touton since I first began to investigate dining possibilities in Paris. His name is spelled T-O-U-T-A-I-N. He'd previously worked for the chef at Arpège, where I would lunch on Friday, my singular 3-Michelin-star restaurant of the trip. He must really know what to do with vegetables. The restaurant with his name on it was certainly friendly. I discovered they had cider. I told them of my recent trip to Normandy and the cider tradition back home in B.C. I was assured that their cider was well chosen after considerable effort to find the best cider in Normandy. I assumed it would be superb, as good as any wine restaurants usually brag about. I was unsure how to pronounce the chef's name. Turns out it's just like my nickname. When my daughter was a baby in Japan, she couldn't pronounce the Japanese word for father, Oto-san, so she called me Touton. It remains the family name for me all these decades later. A name in common with the chef? That sounds promising. The amuse-bouches are intriguing. A blackberry wrapped up in thin slices of beet. Described as beetroot carpaccio.
I'm the Whisperin' Squad.
And I'm the Lonesome Beat.
And I'm Artichoke. And we're just a joke.
And don't be afraid, little people, because we're just Holy Graham.
Great.
Yeah, but what about you, partner? What you doing today?
Can't be much, Lonesome. Nobody's working.
Nobody except us, and I'm getting tired of standing here with these geeks a-gawking at me.
Now you keep it sweet, Pete.
Listen here, Leafhead, I'm gonna
Now, boys, fighting's out of style, yeah. And fun's where the fair's at.
Blackberry on a hazelnut crumble, a raspberry surprise inside a cannelloni. Described as crispy tube of oyster, raspberry, and shallot. For once, I didn't mind the oyster. And then, a parmentier of beef and pork with tomatoes, onion, garlic, potatoes, cream, roasted hazelnuts from Piedmont, caramelized onion powder, grilled chicken skin, and trout egg. In spite of the massive collection of unusual ingredients, it tasted extraordinary. This is the kind of food I go to these kinds of restaurants for. The hazelnut asparagus at Jules Verne is that kind of dish from last night, but at least I knew what it was.
Monsieur Verne, where will your imagination take us next?
Moons, balloons, as long as I get there first.
You've written another science fiction gem, eh, Jules?
Oh, mais oui.
You are the true foe of that Englishman Wells.
Our French future is so brilliant.
This was intriguing as well as overwhelming. I guess the chef deserves all the praise he gets in the food press, I observed, a bit too quickly. Although the amuses have gone well, the cider really wasn't making it for me. Not bad cider, like the ham-flavored beverage at the Mont Saint-Michel restaurant. Not awful. Just in no way contributing to my enjoyment of the food, like the great ciders did at Breges and Mère Poulard's. I'm asked if I want caviar. Is it part of the dish, I inquire? I'm then served with a dish that, while very pretty on my phone, I have no memory of at all. Probably vegetables. Maybe flower petals? Turns out to be glazed white asparagus, young onions and garlic, almonds, fresh sherry, and Dorinka caviar from Petrosian House. Like when a server asks me if I want cheese later, yes please, I hadn't picked up on their upselling until I got my bill at meal's end. Doubt the caviar added any enjoyment to the dish, or I'd at least remember it. A dish of fish and peas looks promising. Whiting confit on extra virgin olive oil, peas with new onions, ginger, rhubarb, and lovage. I'd had such a great pea-fish combination at one of my favorite restaurants in Vancouver, Bauhaus, just before this trip, as well as the pea risotto with the tuna at Le Bouquiniste, which was my first serious meal in Paris. However, this dish did not make it at all. By far the worst use of both peas and asparagus I've encountered on this trip.
Let's get on with our discussion of asparagus production in our great Northwest.
The best
Dr. Bredman?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say that I think I have the right to defend the statement I made last week about this being the best location in the nation.
Well, I think you're hip to our jive, Senator, but tell me this. Last week, your wife, Bobette, there was an unfortunate incident in the asparagus patch where she squatted on a...
Squatter's Rights.
Squatter's Rights.
Squatter's Rights, it was called.
Now, the PG&E capped her immediately.
That's right.
As you know, there was a sign right by the side of the road that read, no dumping. So yes. The entire thing right. Came under the civil code.
And the fish and sauce wasn't very good either. Pedestrian at best. I explained my lack of enthusiasm for the dish to one of the servers, who actually seemed concerned. I told her of much better uses of those vegetables I'd so recently enjoyed. She insisted that this was a great dish. It has ginger. It has rhubarb. But what it lacks is good flavor for all its ingredients. Another asparagus dish, this time barbecued green asparagus, brown butter mayonnaise, smoked yolk of egg, bread, tuil, and fresh sorrel. And then things really began to plummet downhill. Next up, a dish of eel in a thick sesame sauce. More of a paste than a sauce. Smoked eel, black sesame, green apple. I don't know if I've ever had eel before, but this is light years away from edibility. My single bite is nearly fatal.
Come, in this our hour of mutual greed, let us share an urn, an urn of churning burgundy.
I'll drink to that.
Indeed he will. For now my gruesome plan be known, and I will do't. This foundling cur was known to be my brother's favorer, and thus is bound to find some favor in his will, and thus to flavor my good fortunes. I'll send him off to heaven to be my brother's keeper, and thus to keep the better's best myself. Eddie, my love! Here's drink for you!
Ah, sweet uncle! Here's drink for you!
It won't be long now. E'en now the venom rushes to his head. Death's knocking at his door, and yet he smiles. He'll drop like a stone.
it's no funny, fell right over. What, they're drunk, sir? Are you drunk, sir? Sir, are you drunk? What, they're drunk? Oh, Nate dead! Where be his mirths? His smileless smiles that fell like leaden farts upon the stage. Oh, piteous man, he's gone, he's gone. They've left me groatless to seek the secret of my secret birth. I'll take some speed and beat the Queen of Perth.
The same server who insisted I was wrong about the fish with peas is more sympathetic to my uneaten eels. The sesame sauce is quite strong, she rationalizes. Next, a woman comes in with two fat roasted birds and displays them to me. I tell her there's no way I can eat that much food. She says she'll tell the chef. What she told him, I'll never know. But thankfully, the two fat roasted pigeons are not all for me. I'm offered a box full of knives to choose from. Am I to fight a duel? The pigeons are sliced up by the chef for all the customers to enjoy. Well, almost all of them. With my chosen knife, I saw off a bit of pigeon. I begin chewing. And chew. And chew. It tastes like rubber. It belongs in a Michelin tire, not on a Michelin-starred restaurant. Pigeon, risotto of seeds, carrots, hogweed.
You know what I'm afraid of, Gogo?
Cars, dogs, baseballs. Pigeons have no known predators, Dodo.
I'm afraid of sticking out in the flock.
And so you're doing it again. Right now.
I know. I don't believe it. There you are. All are like facing the other way. No sense to it. I can't remember how it happened.
Hey, flock wheel left, oh, yeah. Flock wheel right, land grip coup.
Good, yeah.
Same old thing. Mm. You just weren't going with the flock, Dodo.
I'm really obvious, right, Gogo? Like sticking out.
Everybody else is meditating on internal matters and is as one pigeon with all existence. I can see your tail because I landed here next to you, Dodo. Turn around or something. Do flashy acrobatics. Double Janet Gaynor with a twister.
Okay, okay. Wow, hey, Go-Go. Okay. Bill just died. The bill down about 20 to the left there. My left.
Oh, uh-huh.
That'd be on your right, Go-Go.
Oh, uh-huh.
We sat next to him on the high school in 96. Mm-hmm. Second flock moves, he'll land in the diamond lane. Pass it on.
Ah, Bill, he was a fat, stupid, lovable guy. I remember he laid an egg in that high school, and he loved to fly.
Yeah, what a pigeon.
Never got more than 20 feet off the ground in his life, though. Well, dear old Bill won't be waiting for Birdland anymore. Hey, wait a second. How did you do that?
Do what?
Well, turn around like that. Now we're all facing the same way. Show me. Come on. Do it again. Do it again.
I can't do it if anybody's watching. Go-Go? Is that what we're all doing here? Waiting for Birdland?
Well, we weren't here yesterday.
Well, were we waiting?
Of course. We were all waiting.
They don't call us pigeons for nothing.
Well, the flock was on the grass yesterday.
Alas, the grass is always.
Not always.
Always. It's always the same wire. Isn't it always the same grass?
Not always. Never. Always.
Always.
As a palate cleanser, I'm served some Conte cheese. After the Parmentier, this was the highlight of the meal. And it's cheese I can easily get in Vancouver. Finally, time for dessert. Ice cream made from coconut, white chocolate, and cauliflower. I expect inventiveness from a famous chef, but this experiment leaves an unpleasant aftertaste.
Golly! Hi, kids! This is Porgy Tirebiter, reminding every single one of you out there in the audience just to listen for the happy sound of bells every afternoon just about this time. Because they mean your Oasis ice cream man is right around the corner with a truckload of frosty Oasis bars in four favorite flavors. Chocolate chunk, strawberry seed, date nut, and camel. And yes siree, frozen Oasis water pops. They're 99.9% fresh tap water with real artificial fruit flavors added. So, come on, when you hear bells today, run out and shout, "Hey, Mr. Oasis man, I got a nickel. Wait for me!"
An apricot tart. Actually, it's a shortbread biscuit. Apricots, almond cream, and thyme sorbet. I'll be having apricots for breakfast tomorrow, so I appreciate this as a sort of amuse-bouche for that meal. Some strawberries, edible without ever suggesting the magnificence of the strawberries with cheese and olive oil I'd had at Jules Verne the previous night. They keep bringing me more desserts, but I've had more than enough. I flee into the night. Although the tomato meat dish was memorable, the mediocre veggie fish thing, the poisonous eels, and the rubber bird put the whole meal in the same category as my hotel. Would be appropriate only in a horror movie.
Et je préfère le dire pour la plupart que c'est la seule chose. Oh mon Dieu.
Well, thank you very much.
We're dubbing him right now.
Maurice Frog.
Je suis un Américain, moi.
Of New Orleans, United States.
Je ne peux pas le dire. Je suis un Américain. Laisse-moi faire. Laissez passer.
I wanted to go to Arpège as soon as I read its website, not just concerned for the soil, the French invented the word terroir, and the quality of the vegetables, but the desire to share them with whatever animal chose to eat them really made this seem like a dream restaurant to me.
They had done some studies, and it turns out that they found that plants feel pain. Pain?
No, I didn't know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that inspired this little piece entitled The Vegetarian's Nightmare.
Okay.
Or a dissertation on plants' rights. Broccoli power! Ladies and diners, I make you a shameful, degrading confession. A deed of disgrace in the name of good taste. Though I did it, I meant no aggression. I had planted a garden last April. Lovingly sang it a ballad. But later in June, beneath the full moon, forgive me, I wanted a salad. So I slipped out and fondled a carrot, caressing its feathery top. With the force of a brute, I tore out the root, and it whimpered and came with a pop. And laying my hand on a radish, I jerked. And it left a small crater. Then with the blade of my true value spade, I exhumed a slumbering tater. Celery I plucked, I twisted a squash, tomatoes were wincing in fear. I choked the romaine, it screamed out in pain, their anguish was filling my ears. I finally came to the lettuce. As it cringed at the top of the row. With one wicked slice, I beheaded it twice. As it writhed, I dealt a death blow. I butchered the onions and parsley. So my hoe was all covered with gore. I chopped and I whacked without looking back. Then I stealthily slipped in the door. My bounty lay naked, dying. So I drowned them to snuff out their life. I sliced and I peeled as they thrashed and they reeled on the cutting board under my knife. I violated tomatoes so their innards could never survive. I grated and ground till they made not a sound, and I boiled the tater alive. I took the small broken pieces I had tortured and killed with my hands and tossed them together, heedless of whether they suffered or made their demands. I ate them. Forgive me, I'm sorry. But hear me, though I'm a beginner, those plants feel pain. Though it's hard to explain to someone who eats them for dinner, I intend to begin a crusade for plants' rights, including chickpeas. And the ACLU will be helping me, too. In the meantime, please pass the blue cheese.
However, getting into such a famous restaurant is rarely easy. Two other three-star places I was interested in were not interested in me because I was a solo diner. The smallest number of diners they would take reservations for is two. That strikes me as very strange, but chefs of this caliber can be eccentric. Thus, it was to my considerable surprise that Arpège approved my request for a reservation after first requesting my credit card number and then insisting I reconfirm 48 hours before dining. As I had a reservation for 12 o'clock Friday, I reconfirmed on Wednesday. I was asked for my credit card number again, and then I was supposed to be in. I arrived at Arpège carrying a jacket in my bag in case it's needed. It is. At the front desk, the woman informs me I'm not on the list of diners. How is this possible? I hadn't reconfirmed on Thursday. Now that's getting ridiculous. They finally find a table for me, and I'm in. What wonders will now ensue? I'm asked if I want wine with my meal. I tell my server only if one of the courses will be fish. The menu is called a surprise menu because whether anything but veggies will be on the menu is a surprise. I stick with tap water. The Arpège Amuse consists of three warm tarts. They contain, I believe I hear, nettles, strawberries, turnips, rhubarb, white spinach, and onion. Also tiny flowers, and they are tiny.
Ever since the flowers got the vote, you know.
Oh, yeah, they got the vote,
the
too.
The flowers got the vote now, too,
what
yeah.
What about the flies?
Imagine getting all those ingredients into tarts the size of quarters. However they did it, it's as good as the Parmentier from last night, the prawn ravioli for my first meal, and the asparagus and cheese with hazelnut sauce at Jules Verne. That's the top of the line, as good as food gets. What can possibly top this? Next Amuse course is bouillon with vegetable raviolis. Not sure which veggies, but one was red, so probably tomato. A kind of strawberry salad is up next. Strawberry halves in olive oil with mozzarella, cucumber, and threads of red onion. Something I can make. Then something I definitely can't make. Hay chantilly in asparagus velouté with peas and, of course, nettles. Don't think I've ever had anything made with hay before. Will I turn into a horse? An egg is up next. The chef's specialty since he first began collecting Michelin stars. Raw egg, allspice cream, sherry vinegar and maple syrup stuffed into half an eggshell. Could still taste the raw egg, but the allspice helped. Next up, spaghetti with parsley and thyme, fresh eel, potato, and poppy leaves. Aha! The spaghetti is made from potatoes. Very smoky.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, and particularly the ladies, this station takes great pleasure in bringing you that little Frenchman who's been tickling your palates all over this universe, our own fresh chef.
Hello, lady. Take off your dress, slip into someone comfortable, and tie up your little apron. Be ready for some French cooking. And I'm your host, the French Fresh Chef. Today, lady.
Thank you.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, chérie. Today, lady, potatoes in syrup. You will need 1/2 pound of slag. This is skinned slag, that is, you know, you mustn't pick the pulpy ones, although it's spotted with gray. It's needlessly expensive and you won't be satisfied. We need 1 ounce of very sweet dry crystallized sugar, 2 pounds of potatoes, soft with yellow skin, and of course wine of sufficient quantity. We are now ready to begin. Step one, the peeling. Take it off. Take it all off. Oh, thank you. Now step two. Intricately, ladies, gently, disengage and take the potatoes into small dimensions, like this. Let them to cook during 10 minutes in boiling wine and hot oil, lightly perfumed. I'm using my favorite wine, of course, on the Thunderbird label, Nippon Cadet Hot 69. Now, step three, ladies, test them. And pour the potatoes in cold water to make goose pimples. Good, now test them again. Then, and this is very important, that you do it loving them. You must epluche them. Finally, slip them into a casserole. Cover it with this crystallized sugar. Oh, the entire potatoes, please. Remember now, cover them with water and let it set for sufficient time to be very sweet, just until the potatoes become transparent. Serve them cold, like a dessert. That's it, ladies. Eat hearty And until next week, my Sylvan beauties, this is the Fresh Chef. saying bon appetit.
Didn't mind the eel at all. A woman at a nearby table tells her man to slow down. Good advice for me, too, as the pasta is quite filling. Great to know I can eat eels, as long as David Tutan goes nowhere near them. Next up, fish. I order a glass of white wine to go with the turbo with peas and asparagus in a white wine sauce. It's kind of a foam, actually, more than a sauce, along with some sorrel paste. The paste really helps the dish, as does the wine. The fish melts in my mouth, but the veggies are not up to my encounters with them at previous restaurants this week. I'm getting very full. This is, after all, lunch, usually a small meal for me. I'd planned to go on a 5-kilometer hike before the meal. There is a kind of abandoned railway line turned into hiking park through Paris called La Coulée Verte, also referred to as Promenade Plantée. I thought I'd walk before lunch to give me a sufficient appetite. However, I've done so much walking already this trip, my legs were constantly sore, and the idea of yet more walking was no longer something I could contemplate doing. Nevertheless, my appetite has expanded considerably since coming to France. And the fish dish is my last savory dish of the meal. For dessert, hey, ice cream. Is there a horse in the kitchen? Honey, sea salt, sauce of caramel, hazelnut fragments. Nowhere near as good as the hazelnut asparagus dish I'd had at Jules Verne, but it's okay. I'm offered some cookies and candies, which I decline.
It's beautiful. The colors. Macarons taste terrible, but God, are they pretty. Whoa, look at him.
Bonjour, mademoiselle. Bienvenue à la boutique de macarons. Tout ce que vous voyez, vous pouvez manger.
Sorry, I only took French for 7 years. I have no idea what you're saying.
Les écoles américaines, c'est de la merde.
Oh, I've never been to Paris. God, it really is so beautiful. But French people just want to make everything, like, fancy. Like their fries.
It is like, we all love the food. You are not special because you love the food.
Alana, you know that being racist against white people is still being racist.
Eh, I don't know.
Yay! Vive la résistance!
Au revoir, jolie reine. Amusez-vous bien à la fête de Dara.
Ah oui, merci beaucoup, monsieur. Au revoir!
For all its stars and reputation as the restaurant with the best use of vegetables on the planet, the whole meal itself was okay. One great dish, the first amuse, the tiny tarts, tasty fish and such, but in general, I was paying for the prestige and the creativity of the chef, and not for the kind of overall delight that was Wednesday's meal at Jules Verne. Next up, more great art, specifically Monet. His name is even part of the museums. A long trek, my legs are complaining, takes me to the Marmottan Monet Museum in a distant suburb. It's supposed to have the biggest collection of works by my favorite painter. I've taken two pictures with my phone, one of a Monet and the other of a Chagall, before I'm informed that no photography is allowed. I wander through an exhibition of Pissarro's work. They're okay. Better is a room full of Bert Morisot. Following the signs, I descend into the Monet realm. It is spectacular. I had wanted to see this museum before my trip to Monetland tomorrow. Glad I did so. Two great meals in one day? Is that possible? What is this, Vegas? I have managed to get a reservation at Spring, one of the most popular restaurants in Paris.
Life is a huge dream. Why work so hard? All day long, I drink, lying outside the front door, awakening, looking up through the trees in the garden, and one bird singing in the flowers. Bird, what season is this? Spring! I'm a mango bird, and the spring wind makes me sing. Now I grow sad, very sad. So I have some more wine, and I sing out loud until the bright moon rises. What was I upset about? I can't remember.
perhaps because it lacks recognition by the tire company, Spring not only doesn't ask me to reconfirm, it calls me at my, quote, hotel, unquote, on Thursday to see if I'm still on for Friday night's dinner. I get there as soon as it opens, and I'm alone for quite a while. It never really fills up, which strikes me as odd. Like almost all the restaurants on this trip, the staff is very friendly. Asked if I want a wine pairing, I inquire if they have cider. They have pear, not apple, so I go with the wine pairing instead. This is not an expensive restaurant. As part of the pairing, I'm offered a glass of champagne. My first amuse is deep-fried breaded squid with a relatively tasteless dipping sauce. Boo! And a piece of pimento. Yay! Okay, now I've learned something important, something I could do at home. Pimento goes really well with squid. My server then brings me a glass of wine from the French Alps, instructing me how the cool weather there forces this wine to be perfect with my first course, trout from Banca, which is a village in the Basque region of France, radish dill. It turns out to be the best trout dish I've ever eaten. I'm stunned by how good it is. I'm fond of trout, but I had no idea it could taste this good. Thanks, Alps. Next, I'm offered a wine from Corsica. All I know about Corsica is that Napoleon is from there. I tell my server this. This wine is from his hometown, she tells me. The next dish is turbot, fennel, saffron sabayon. I had turbot for lunch at Arpège, which was quite good. This is 10 times better. This is why we have the capacity for pleasure. I'm stunned. Next up, a red wine and a pigeon two-way, the first with eggplant and chickpeas, the second with foie gras and chanterelles. After my disastrous pigeon, quote, meal, unquote, at Toutain's, I was afraid the pigeon itself was not to my taste. But that did not turn out to be the case. Spring's pigeon with eggplant and chickpeas was delicious. I'm surprised and delighted. The foie pairing and the other pigeon dish unfortunately didn't make it. The chanterelles were quite good, though. The red wine helped a lot. For dessert, first an apricot, my breakfast meal as well, and then a cherry clafoutis, a kind of pie that I couldn't stop eating, even though I had to remove pits from my mouth after each bite.
The Greek women's team did a marvelous, marvelous job getting in and out of the pits, and it was the pits tonight here at the, at the Southern Olympics. I've, as the woman, Hilda Frog, said as she crawled out of the pits, I've been down before, I've been on the bottom, but this is it.
Far and away the best dessert I've had in Paris. And I really don't care for desserts unless they're just pieces of fruit and maybe some cheese. While I was dining, a movie was being filmed outside the restaurant. After they filmed their scene, the actors came in and occupied another table. But at most, there were three tables full, of maybe a dozen in the restaurant. It's just quite surprising, considering this is a difficult restaurant to get in, and it's extraordinarily good and quite reasonably priced. Finally, it was my last day in France. Between exquisite tuna burger at Shiso Burger for lunch and the shrimp ravioli at Le Bouquiniste for dinner, I spent the afternoon doing another thing I've been wanting to do for a long time. And this was a trip to Monet's house and garden, which is about 90 minutes outside of Paris. I thought it would be like walking into one of his paintings.
Good day, welcome to the Great White North, Canadian Corner. I'm Bob McKenzie, this is my brother Doug.
How's it going, eh?
It was a tour which I had booked before leaving Canada. So I went to the place where the tour assembled at a Paris place called Les Pyramides. Thanks, Napoleon. Our tour guide entertained throughout the trip. I learned the population of Greater Paris, the fact that Normandy is much bigger geographically but has more cows than people, and assorted information about Monet as we cruised in air-conditioned comfort to his town. We get there and park. We are supposed to remember our bus number. The guide takes us over to Monet's famous bridge, but can't go into his house with us. Says he'll meet us at the café outside. We wait in line for a while in the serious heat, then enter. Monet sure loved Japanese prints. I have a certain affection for them myself, but this is ridiculous.
Hey, Joe! Who won a second world war, you so smart?
I thought I'd encountered a lot of Japanese people in Paris and Mont Saint-Michel, but there were even more on Monet's walls, plus a few copies of his own and his friend's works. Lots of people crowding about. Nice gardens if you're into such things. I saw several flowers that are growing in our gardens back home. Not once did I feel any great sense of connection to Monet, no greater appreciation of his already most appreciated paintings. Like Mont Saint-Michel and even Arpège the previous day, these were items to cross off a bucket list instead of the kind of inspiration I thought they'd be. Still, overall, I would say it was a very inspiring trip, in that I saw things I wanted to see while my eyes still work. I ate things I wanted to eat, drank things I wanted to drink, even heard a good tune as I was walking around Paris. I thought it was Hall & Oates. Sounded like Hall & Oates, and although I didn't think they'd had a song out in 40 years. When I got home, I looked it up and discovered it was called You Get What You Give by the New Radicals. It's definitely not Hall & Oates. I think I like that song even more than I like Paris. Of course, that's not saying much.
world.